My name is Matt Gonzalez. Welcome to my podcast, One Question with Matt G. My whole life I've been very curious, asking who, what, when, why, how. And that's what's brought me here to you. Every single week I'm going to have a special guest on and I'm going to ask them one question. What question am I going to ask them this week? Well, you'll just have to find out on One Question with Matt G. Today on One Question, my guest is Michael Schmidt. Mike, or Schmidty as I like to call him, is a nutrition health coach, and he's the founder and owner of Superfood Superhuman. What's up, Schmidty? How are you?
Dude, I am fantastic. I can't thank you enough for having me on here. When I saw you message me on LinkedIn and saw your name pop up, I couldn't have been happier. So great to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. Mike and I have known each other for a really long time. We got to work together in corporate America at Insight Global back in the day. But what I've been most impressed with and proud of you, man, is the journey you've been over the last couple of years of really just taking something you're truly passionate about and making it what you do for a living, which is a very, very, very hard thing to do. Very few people can figure it out. And so I respect immensely anyone that goes on that journey. So I appreciate you coming on One Question.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And it's cool. I feel like you're getting your entrepreneur bug in there as well, doing this podcast. You're clearly doing well with
a little bit. We don't have swag yet, but I'm working on that for like the three people that want a One Question mug. We'll get there. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. But, Mike, I have one question for you. Why is nutrition so important?
Such a profound question that I'm literally carrying out my entire life to express to everybody the answer to that question. And you know, what's funny. I think as I reflect of a little over a full year in full-time entrepreneurship and the ups and downs that it has come with, just like anybody else's life, there's a roller coaster that we have to ride. And I get emotional thinking about it, but literally my program and what I do is the tangible result of taking care of my health and focusing on my nutrition.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, and I'm by no means an expert like you are, but really started understanding the cause and effect of what you put in your body a couple years ago, and then started really paying attention to people. And, you know, there is such a ramifications, good and bad, of how you fuel your body. And, you know, I think most people are like, well, it's fuel or it's calories. I think a lot of people have probably graduated into like, well, I understand what those calories are, but what you eat affects everything, right? It affects your energy levels, how you think, how you recover, your mood, your mental health, everything. So like, where do we even start, Mike? Where do we start talking about this amazing subject?
Yeah, another great question, because it can be so overwhelming, especially in the health and wellness space. Like, one day meat's good for you, next day it's bad, coffee's good, coffee's bad.
I mean, one of my favorite Instagram posts of all time is the guy that's like, he just plays all the clips and he's like, I've got to drink 200 ounces of water a day. This person says water is going to kill you. And like, it's, you know, I got to go all, vegetable. I'm only meat. Don't touch vegetables. They're toxic. Like there's a lot of, you know, stuff contradicting itself out there.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you started with that question and made that point, because I feel like oftentimes so many people are so busy listening to what other people are saying and not listening to their own body, which is the first and foremost thing that I'd recommend to everybody, because nobody knows your body better than you do. And one person's food could literally be another person's poison. Like, just like you mentioned, like some people might tolerate meat well, some people don't. Some people tolerate veggies well, some people don't. So whether you were born via C-section or you were born normally, or you took antibiotics, or you've eaten certain food that has affected your individual microbiome, it's going to affect like the foods and the energy that you get from those foods, depending on, you know, your prefactors of where you started, how you were born, what you've eaten over the course of your life. So I would say the first place to start is literally to start crowding out the noise of everything you hear out there. Stop listening to everybody else and listen to your own body.
Yeah. So let's start with a definition. What's your microbiome? Let's just assume someone's listening to the show right now. And they go, I don't know what you just said.
I'm glad that you brought that to the surface, because sometimes I take it for granted how much this is ingrained into my lifestyle. But yeah, your microbiome is basically your gut, your stomach. 70% of our immune system is hosted in our microbiome, in our gut. 90% of serotonin, which is your happiness hormone, is manufactured in your gut.
I did not know that. 90% of the serotonin, the happiness hormone, comes from your gut.
Exactly. And 90% of the neurotransmitters in our body actually go from our gut, our stomach, up through something called the vagus nerve, which connects your gut to your brain. So it goes from your gut to your brain and not the other way around. And that's why I feel like we always say, you know, trust your gut, trust your instincts, because there's a lot of reality and science in that.
Wow. All right. So if someone comes and is working with Superfood Superhuman, where do you start with them?
Yeah. So the start, I think, is grace. That's the number one most important thing, is to have grace with where you're at and like recognizing where you are, because the world that we live in is insanely toxic, whether it's the food or, you know, certain people that we're hanging out with, or, you know, just certain things that we don't even realize we're doing to ourselves, overextending ourselves, not respecting our own boundaries. And it's a hard place to live, this world, right? Life can be hard.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing, and it sounds obvious, but whether it's diet culture or just the way that we're programmed, like we have to shame ourselves, or if we mess up once, if we have one cheat meal, like it's over, you know, it's done, we're a failure. I think the mindset, as with most things in life, is really the place to start. And that mindset starts with like actually appreciating how far you've come and like genuinely practicing grace, which is, again, sounds obvious, but it is a skill. Because when we're shaming and we're blaming ourselves, I think oftentimes we don't realize that we're actually speaking negativity into our own genes and into our own body. And that, you know, decreases our energy level. And then we don't want to work out as much. And then we don't want to eat as well. So, yeah, I think like having grace is the very first step.
I love that. Yeah, because I get, you know, I'm sure if someone is hiring a coach or enlisting in a program or reading something, they're, you know, they want to grow. They want to do better. And that can come from a positive place, or that can come from, to your point, I hadn't even thought of it, a very negative place, right? I don't look the way I want. I don't feel the way I want. It's my fault. I've done it. Yeah, that's all true. But you kind of got to like take stock of where you are. And then probably, yeah, I love the word grace. It's one of my favorite words, is like, give yourself grace for where you are. And then just say, cool, this is it. This is where we are. We can be upset about it. We can be mad about it. We can be angry about it. Maybe blame other factors or things that have happened to us or things we did. Or you can just say, okay, this is where I am on my journey.
Right.
This is the beginning. This is where I am. All this stuff got me here, but whatever. That's the past. Let's now start talking about, this is where we are and this is where I want to go.
Exactly. And you know what Tony Robbins always says is, see it as it is, but don't see it worse than it actually is. All right. So it'd be like getting real with yourself and like fully assessing where you're at, but also appreciating how far you've come and not overanalyzing, not overthinking and self-sabotaging, because that is the thing that's actually going to hold you back. And honestly, like going through my burnout journey, you know, I never thought of myself as like a very self-deprecating person or someone that might procrastinate or someone that isn't driven. You know, I mean, geez, everything that Insight Global taught me is like, I can't thank you guys enough for everything I've learned. And then like, you know, transitioning into this huge shift in my life, right? Like going from all this constant structure and like community and like coworkers. And all of a sudden I'm like, damn, like I'm all on my own here. And I got lonely and I got, you know, frankly, I got scared at times. And then I just realized like how much I was, isolating myself, speaking negativity into my own mind and my body and my genes. And It wasn't until I, you know, by the grace of God, got hit by a sponsored ad from a business coach, and I hired him and got into a community and shifted my mindset, started to heal my nervous system. Because, you know, whether it's caffeine or alcohol or food or like crazy busyness that like jacks up our nervous system, I've realized that that's like the most important thing to me. And I'm just, now that I've gone through this like burnout journey, I'm just so passionate about giving myself grace and like teaching others how to do that as well, because it is what helps you move forward.
I love that. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, all right. So we know where we are. We've probably done a little bit of a self-assessment. We're giving ourselves grace. Then how do you go on this nutrition journey? Like, how do you assess, how do we figure out what's good or bad for us individually, right? How do you start that with someone? Because I'll speak for myself, just like you talked about, you know, serotonin, dopamine, food plays a big factor in that, right? Not just food, alcohol, anything you put in your body, right? But I got a very bad sweet tooth. Everyone that knows me knows that. And nothing like a couple cookies after a hard day, right? But but the initial boost in my happiness from that crashes real hard. And then there's repercussions. But like, okay, so where are you starting with a client for Superfood Superhuman? Like, we got grace. We know where we are. Then what?
Dude, another fantastic question. One of the biggest concepts I teach my clients is something called primary food.
Oh.
Which is basically everything that's off of your plate. So again, your stress levels, your sleep, your home environment, your social life, your relationships, and how that affects what goes onto your plate, which is what I call secondary food. And I like to say that your world typically shows up on your plate, right? So if you are, you know, reaching for the candy, or you are, you know, going and getting fast food versus, you know, you're making a beautiful, colorful salad or, you know, a healthy, well-balanced meal, it's like your life is well-balanced as well. So really, man, I think, you know, it's not very common in terms of maybe an answer most people expect when it comes to like nutrition.
I'm surprised by this. This is great.
Yeah. I don't know any other way to approach nutrition outside of holistically. Cause look, dude, anybody can tell you, eat your vegetables, eat your fruits, like eat this many calories. But that's almost like getting the answers to the math test, but not actually knowing how you got there. Right. Yeah. So that's why people will do it for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and then it doesn't last, because they're not actually understanding at a fundamental level, like when it comes to nutrition and about themselves. And, you know, man, like eating and food is a very emotional thing.
Yeah. Right?
We tie our childhood to it. We tie our current and, you know, active emotions to it. We stress eat. We break bread with family.
There's like, there's stuff called comfort food.
Yeah. Right. And it's like the biggest things I hear from a lot of people, especially, is like, how do I stay healthy while I'm in like a social setting or during the holidays or during the weddings? I think first off, again, like your mindset, being graceful with yourself, like having an 80-20, 90-10 type of balance, but like genuinely wanting to make healthy decisions from an empowered standpoint, not like, oh, I can't have this, or I can't have the cookies, or I can't have the cake. It's like, no, well, I actually know what this is going to do to my body and my gut, where 70% of my immune system is and 90% of my happiness hormone is. So like, does this food love me back? You know?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to hurt my brain or help my brain? Is it going to hurt my liver, help my liver? Like, well, how is this going to affect my happiness and those people around me and the domino effect that creates? So
but
you're addressing like everything off your plate first.
Yeah. You're so right though, because most people, especially, and this isn't wrong, but a lot of people count macros and calories now. And those are not wrong things to do, right? It depends on what you're trying to accomplish in your journey and all that stuff. But yeah, no one's really thinking about how's this going to make me feel, not no one. Most people aren't thinking about how's this going to make me feel tomorrow, right? How's this going to make me feel in a few hours? Right. Mm-hmm. What is this actually doing to the chemistry in my body? Right. I might just be like, it's a sweet, whatever. Right. Or, you know, this is a giant piece of fatty meat, which might be good depending on what I'm trying to accomplish and how my body reacts. So that's really interesting. So, okay. So, we go to primary food. Then how do you start assessing secondary food? So we've identified the stressors, we've identified maybe the environmental factors or the internal triggers. So we kind of start there. That's amazing. Mm. I've never even thought of that. But then like, how do you start reinforcing what they should eat, when they should eat it, all that kind of stuff? How do you start with like an elimination diet and then start adding stuff back in? What's your guys' approach?
Yeah, the first step, man, another obvious one, but I think the reminders are so crucial, is first off to eat real food, like food that comes from Mother Nature. You know, if you so choose to eat animal protein, like quality meats, you know, organic, fresh, hopefully local fruits and vegetables, because, you know, crazy statistic is that 60% of the average American diet is comprised of processed food.
Yeah.
Right. Something that comes in a bag or a box. Like, and trust me, I'm all about these new healthier alternatives that are coming out, better ingredients, but same time, like it's still,
I mean, if you go to the grocery store, what is it? 80% of it's in a box or a bag, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So sticking on like the outskirts of the grocery store, you know, because I think a lot of people get overwhelmed by the grocery store, whether it's just the food or the supplements or the probiotics. It's like, what the heck do I get? So bringing yourself back to simplicity, I think, is really crucial. And realizing that most of the food that we eat that's coming in a box or bag, like my opinion, isn't really food. So that's the very first thing that I like reiterate to my clients, is like, just get back to eating real food, kind of like audit and self audit and maybe even food journal. You know, if like calorie counting and macros doesn't really resonate or align with you, which for me, it doesn't. I think from like a structure perspective, it can definitely help, especially like macros, maybe like protein and, you know, getting in healthy fats. Like that's great. But just like kind of self auditing, okay, like what did I eat today? And like, how do I feel because of that? Or from like a tangible tips standpoint, yeah, I think like when you're at the grocery store, just remember to eat real food. And you can do that by just hanging on the outskirts of the grocery store and trying not to go in those middle aisles. And then your question about like when to eat, you know, another stark statistic that is like the reason I do what I do is that, you know, 1/3 of Americans are pre-diabetic, meaning they have like high cholesterol or high blood sugar, and 90% of them don't even know it. So, you know, you have mood swings or you get hangry or your energy's, you know, crashing in the afternoon. Like a lot of that has to do with your gut health and your blood sugar levels. And a lot of that is affected by the foods you eat. So obviously in America, it's like called a SAD diet, a standard American diet, like lots of heavy processed carbs, which is like you said before, it's a quick dopamine hit. It's a quick hit of energy. It's almost like the Kindle sticks to the fire, but that's going to crash and burn pretty quickly. So eating real foods, like eating a well-balanced meal of like good protein, you know, healthy carb, because I know carbs are demonized. Healthy fats, I think, is super underrated, especially from the 90s, the low fat craze in the 90s. There's a lot to it. I'm trying not to ramble on here. But yeah, I think like that well-balanced, colorful meal. And then like regards to the timing, because that affects your blood sugar so much, a lot of people are snacking and grazing throughout the day. Mm. And we've been taught that maybe that is like a healthier way. But, you know, your gut, it takes a lot of work for your gut and your stomach to break down food. So if you're constantly snacking and grazing, not only is it tough on your stomach and your digestion, but also your blood sugar levels are going constantly up and down, versus if you have like 3 complete, full, well-balanced meals throughout the day within, you know, let's say like 3 to 3.5 hour time frame split in between each of them, that's really going to help your mood and your energy. And, you know, I think that most people are late night snacking oftentimes, like right before bed, which also affects your sleep, which affects your energy. I think that most people should at least give themselves like a 12-hour break between, like, you know, the time they go to bed or the last meal that they eat, and then the time they wake up in the morning. Because that definitely plays a huge factor in your blood sugar, hence your energy and your mood.
So if I take a 12-hour break, like what does that do for me? So you're saying my gut's taking a break, but like,
yeah,
what does that do to my chemistry? Why is that good for me?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, first off, it helps balance your blood sugar, which again ties back to your energy. And again, it also just gives your gut a break from digesting food so often, because, you know, it takes a lot of energy for your body to break down food. So if you're constantly grazing and snacking, it's going to be tough to conserve like your energy.
If I'm eating a bowl of cereal, let's use that. That's a beautiful, beautiful processed food that I'm a big fan of. If I'm eating a bowl of cereal and then I'm going to sleep immediately, like what's happening to me?
Mm. Yeah, great question. So that's something I think is so underrated, because I don't know if you've ever heard of circadian rhythms, but it's just basically just all about the idea of like how our bodies are supposed to like rise and fall with the sun. But our digestive system, based on the research I've done, what I've seen and I've experienced with myself and my clients, like your gut health and your digestion is also on that same clock. So if you're eating a meal right before you go to bed, like your body takes at least right 3 hours to like really digest all that. And if your body's worried about digesting food instead of sleeping, it's really going to impact your sleep.
That's interesting. So it's moving your energy reserves from basically throwing you into REM probably faster because it's digesting a little bit. Your energy reserves are focused more on the digestion than moving towards a REM, REM cycle and getting you into like that deep restorative sleep.
Yeah. So that's one of the big things I recommend first to a lot of my clients is like trying to cut the late night snacking.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us are just super mindless. Like, especially if we're not eating like enough throughout the day.
Yeah.
Cause we're so busy. Then we end up like gorging and like eating the most food right before bed, which is probably the worst thing that you can do. So I always like tell my clients, like just even from like an awareness perspective, even outside of like what it does to your sleep and all that, like, yeah, just have a structure around like when you eat instead of just like freely doing it whenever and not being mindful around it. So I always say like, try to cut your eating window like 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed. And oftentimes look like most produce, most fruits and vegetables is like 87 to 95% water.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we're mistaking our hunger for thirst. So just drinking water. And then, you know, by the time you wake up, right, if you stop eating at 6 or 7 o'clock and you get your morning routine going and you're eating breakfast at 7 or 8, like you're already in that nice break of a 12 hour, you know, reset.
Yeah. Now you've mentioned that like the processed food is messing with our microbiome in our stomachs, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it specifically, like, how is it really messing us up? Like, okay, I hear you, but like, is it really like, what is it doing to me when I'm eating, you know, Cheez-Its or, you know, a snack, right? Pretzels, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the ironic part about all of it. It's like, we don't even realize what it's doing to us.
Wow.
And how it affects us. Yeah. So yeah, one thing that's really interesting that not a lot of people know is that when the cigarette industry started to go under, like when vaping became a big thing and like CVS took their cigarettes out of their stores, like the industry was tanking. So what happened was all these big cigarette companies, like I think like Philip Morris and maybe Marlboro or something, they bought Kraft, they bought Heinz, they bought Nabisco, like all these big cigarette companies started buying the big food companies, and now they're literally applying the same exact tactics to the food industry. And most of us are pretty unconscious to that, right? And so like they're making these foods to make you addicted, and like they put in the natural flavors and they put in all these additives and ingredients and stabilizers to like keep you coming back, right?
Ingredients and chemicals and stabilizers, do they kill our microbiome? Do they throw it out of whack? Like, what is it doing?
Yeah. So one of the big things is like industrial seed oils. So like safflower, sunflower, canola, corn oil, all that stuff is like really, really highly processed oils that I'll try not to get like too scientific, but basically they basically just create bad cholesterol in your body, which is obviously going to clog your arteries and, you know, affect your heart health and your mind and your body. And you'll notice like I challenge people to literally just look for canola oil, look for safflower oil, look for sunflower oil, go down the grocery aisle, turn around any bag on a bag of chips or like Cheez-Its or Goldfish. Like I can almost guarantee you that 90% of them have those oils. And why do they use those oils? Cause they're super cheap.
Yeah.
And from a physical perspective, again, like it causes inflammation. Right. Inflammation is basically the root of all disease. It's the root of gaining weight. It's the root of your mental health, your gut health. So the seed oils, I think number one, far and above, is like you'll notice it, right? If you just kind of keep an eye for it and you change your awareness around it.
And it is
It's in everything. It's in everything. It's insane.
But it's not in fruits, vegetables.
Exactly.
What's real food?
What's it? So look, I teach my clients how to read ingredients, how to read labels. But honestly, man, the best way to do that is to not read any at all.
Yeah.
So go eat your produce, go eat your vegetables, because that even alone can be overwhelming. And again, like, I'm all for these healthier, lesser evils. But if you spend so much time looking at the back of a box, like, you're better off just putting your energy into real food. And then, you know, the other aspect too, like, we all know sugar is not good for us, right? But 80% of the 600,000 processed food items that are available to us have added sugar. And it might be in a different name that you don't even know is sugar.
Yeah, it's been, I've been on a little bit of a sugar journey this year, just learning. And it's interesting how different, like white sugar or corn syrup affects your body as compared to a honey. Yep. Or fruit. People are like, well, fruit's a lot of sugar, completely different sugars. The
fiber, though, has the fiber.
It has the fiber, but it's also a different chemical makeup, right? The chemical makeup of a natural sugar in a banana does to you is completely different than what sugar in a candy bar does to you. Like, completely different. And so it's been interesting. You know, people are like, well, honey's all sugar. But it's made in nature, and the chemical makeup is made to.
It's got micronutrients.
Micronutrients, and it works with the human body, right? Like,
yeah, and it's tough. You see, like, fruit getting demonized on social media because it's sugar. And look, too much of anything is never a good thing. And like, even thinking about, you go to the grocery store, you have a mound of 300 apples. You could buy all those if you wanted to. Like, eventually that's going to be too much sugar, even just, you know, a couple is too much. So like, too much of anything in any aspect of life is never good. So finding that balance, but yeah, big difference between, you know, the sugar from Oreos and the sugar from an apple, you know,
but Oreos are good. Unfortunately,
but Oreos are only 100 calories. So
they are Schmitty. All right. So we've had a long talk. We got into it a little bit here. Unfortunately, we're about out of time, but I do have one last question, Mike. If someone's like, man, you know what, dude, I am unhappy, I don't feel good, I gotta make a change, what's your advice? Where do they go first? What do they do first, aside from give themselves grace? Like, what's the action that they can take to start this journey like you've been on?
Such a powerful question. Get vulnerable.
Yeah.
Get vulnerable with yourself and others and ask for help.
I like that.
Break through the resistance of asking for help, because the very thing that's holding you back is actually the thing that's going to set you free.
Yeah, that's, I've experienced that in my life. I know you have too, but yeah, if just say, hey, I want to do better, this is where I'm at. The amount of people that will put their arms around you is we always underestimate it as human beings.
Exactly.
Well, Mike, what you are doing and what your company is doing is amazing. Do you want to let everyone know where they can, find you on social media or on the internets or all that stuff?
Sure thing. Yeah. I would say Instagram is probably my primary platform. It's just at Superfood Superhuman, all just singular, not plural. So Superfood, no S in the middle, Superfood Superhuman. And then, I'm a little bit on TikTok. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn as well, just as Mike Schmidt. And then my website is superfoodsuperhuman.com. It's funny, a lot of my even clients or just like prospective clients or people are like, oh, like, I told someone to follow your superfood superhumans page. Like, nobody says it right, but although it is simple, sometimes I get it's a little confusing. So yeah, superfood superhuman, basically like all my handles and tags and website, pretty straightforward.
Well, Mike, thanks for being on the show. You're making the world a better place, my man.
Right on. You too, man. I appreciate you so much.